RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. To Strange Tales, thanks for joining me this Sunday. We'll hear from The Haunting Hour today, a series that originally aired from 1945 to 1946, 52 episodes over NBC stations. The story we'll hear today is from 1945. It's titled The Hands of Mr. Smith. Here's The Haunting Hour.
The stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the haunting hour.
Of Mr. Smith.
Midnight, an alleyway, dark and ominously quiet, in the dimly lighted factory district on the outskirts of a big city. In the black shadows, two men wait, their hats pulled down over their eyes, their hands tense in their overcoat pockets. Suddenly, one of the men leans forward in the velvet darkness to peer down the deserted street.
I don't see him, Russ.
He'll be along.
I can hardly wait to get my hands on that dough.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Russ. My hands. The way they're shaking.
Take it easy, Tiny.
It's funny. Every time I wait to stick up a guy, my mitts get shaken like this.
You keep them paws under control.
Oh, sure, sure.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, I won't do nothing. I won't touch the guy.
Remember that.
But why don't he come, Russ?
Get back here.
But where is he? I can see the factory door, but he ain't come out yet.
Get back here, I said.
Okay, okay, okay.
Listen.
A car's coming.
Cops.
Huh?
Police car.
A couple of lousy cops.
Shut up.
Or maybe they'll spot our car. Maybe they'll stop and start looking around.
I said shut up.
Oh, look, they're going by. They ain't stopping.
Stand still.
They turned the corner.
Oh, that's better.
Gee. Now my hands are shaking worse than ever.
I told you to keep them big paws quiet.
I'm trying to, Russ. A guy can't do more than that.
I'll do it. When this cashier comes along, keep your hands in your pocket, and you won't be tempted.
I'll remember. I won't touch him, Russ.
Here he comes.
Are you sure?
That's him. He's all alone. He just came out of the factory.
He's carrying something?
A paper bag. He's got the dough in a paper bag.
This is one trip to the bank he ain't never going to finish.
Steady now. Okay, mister, get him up.
Well, who are you?
Get him up, the man said.
Take the bag, Tiny.
Don't shoot. I won't yell.
He won't yell, he says.
Take that bag, Tiny, you sap.
I don't like this guy.
Keep your hands down, Tiny.
Give me that bag.
Sure. I said I would.
How much is in here?
$3,000.
$3,000? Listen, you punk.
Stop! Go of me!
Cut it out, Tiny. But only $3,000, he said.
Stop! You're joking.
I don't like you.
Go away, him, Tiny.
But I don't like him. He looks like that guard at the big house.
I give the money.
Yeah, and I'm giving you something.
Stop, Tiny. Let go or I'll knock you cold.
Yeah, this guy won't stand still.
Drop him.
Let go. Okay. Okay. I'll let him go.
You killed him.
Huh?
You killed him, you sap. He's dead.
But he looked just like that guard that slugged me.
Get in the car.
We're gonna leave him here?
Get in the car, I said.
Where's the door?
I got it. Get in. Move.
Address him laying there. Suppose them cops come back.
Shut the door. We're getting out of here.
Where are we going? This ain't the way to the apartment.
We're not going to the apartment.
Oh, why not? I told Claire I'd bring the money home tonight.
Keep watching that rearview mirror.
There ain't no cops on our trail. But where are we going,
Russ?
We're
ditching this car, you dope.
Oh, yeah. Sure, we don't need this hot jalopy no more tonight.
I thought I told you to keep your hands off that cashier.
Oh, now listen, Russ.
We had this stick up in the bag, but you had to go and scrag the guy.
I didn't mean to kill him. There was something about him, and once I got my mitts on his throat...
I know, you can't make those big paws behave.
I'm sorry, Russ.
I had my rod on him. All you had to do was take the bag, get in the car while I knocked him cold, and we had smooth sailing.
I said I was sorry, Russ.
You're always sorry.
But look. Look, we got the $3,000, didn't we? We're in the clear. Nobody saw us. Nobody heard us.
What do you mean, us? I didn't kill him.
Hey.
What's the matter?
Back there. I think a prowl car just turned the corner.
Well, is it?
No. That ain't no prowl car. Just a black sedan like this one. It pulled up the curb.
We'll turn off at the next corner, brain.
Plenty deserted around here. Why don't we stop here?
We're going a little further along where it's darker.
Yeah, Claire's going to wonder what's happened. I said I'd be at the apartment by 12:30.
Claire will know soon enough.
Yeah. Wait till I show her the $3,000 we got.
Wait till she hears about the murder.
Oh, I won't tell her tonight.
No, she can read it in the morning papers.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we're getting kind of far out of town. When are we going to stop?
Right here. I'll pull off the road. Okay. We'll leave her here.
Yeah, that's a good spot. Not even a house in sight.
Give me your gun, Tiny.
My gun?
Your gat. Give it to me.
But what for?
To keep you out of trouble.
Ah, now listen, Russ.
Now, we're leaving this car. We're walking to the nearest bus line. If there's a cop on the bus and he looks at you twice, you're going to start shooting, so hand over your rod.
Okay, here it is.
That's better. And now, Tiny, give me the money.
Huh?
The paper bag with the money. Hand it over.
Hey, what is this?
Give me the money, Tiny.
Oh, sure. Here it is. Come on, now let's get out of this car.
Sit still.
Yeah?
You're staying here.
Wait a minute.
Keep those hands quiet.
Hey, Russ, watch that gun. You're pointing it right at me.
You said it. I'm washed up with you, and so's Claire.
What? Claire?
Yeah, Claire, your wife. She's fed up to the teeth, so am I.
You and Claire... Oh, so that's why you didn't drive the apartment... That's why you came way out here. You and Claire are crossing me up. You're figuring I'm bumping me off?
That's right.
Give me that gun.
You bet I will.
Oh, Russ, I'll get you for this. I'll get Claire and you if I have to dig my way out of my own grave.
Gotta beat it, Russ. We gotta pack up and beat it out of here tonight.
What, at 2:00 in the morning? Not on your life. We're staying here until this whole thing blows over.
But that cashier, maybe the cops have found him already. They're bound to find him soon. They're bound to find Tiny.
What of it, Claire? They can't connect it up with you and me.
I'm scared, Russ. Suppose Tiny wasn't dead. Suppose he drove the car back here to the apartment somehow.
You must believe in ghosts.
He said he'd get us, didn't he? He said he'd get us if he had to dig his way out of his own grave.
Oh, I shouldn't have told you that.
Come on. Let's get out of here.
Nothing doing, Claire. We're staying right here. Come on, baby. Unlock the trunk.
The trunk?
Sure. We'll hide the dough in your trunk until this whole thing blows over. Come on, honey. Unlock it.
It is unlocked.
This lid is kind of rusty, huh? There we are. I'll shove this $3,000 under all these clothes.
Those are Tiny's clothes.
Oh, come on, relax, Claire. Now, let me lock it.
Wait!
What's the matter?
You've locked the trunk.
Oh, sure.
But Tiny has the only key. He always carries it with him.
What about it? We'll get another one. I'll have a new one made tomorrow.
What was that?
Sounded like glass breaking.
It was here in the apartment somewhere.
Maybe it wasn't.
I'm sure it was. Sounded like it came from the bathroom.
Well, let's find out.
Wait a minute.
What for?
Have your gun ready.
My gun?
That window in the bathroom. Maybe Tiny climbed up the fire
escape. Oh, will you forget Tiny? He's dead, I tell you. Come on. Let's find out what that noise was. There, you see? There's no one in the bathroom.
The window's open. I closed it and locked it tonight before you and Tiny left.
Oh, now listen, Claire.
Look. Look, there on the windowsill.
What's the matter now?
Blood. Blood on the windowsill. Yeah. And here, on the floor, more of it. I tell you, Tiny did come back. He drove that car back here, climbed the fire escape, and he's hiding here in the apartment waiting to kill us.
Quiet, Claire, quiet.
I'm getting out of here.
Oh, no, you're not. You'll go flying down the street at this time of night, and some cop will pick you up as sure as my name's Rogers.
But that blood on the sill, on the floor, the window open.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, this stuff on the floor, this isn't blood.
Of course it's blood.
No, Claire, you're wrong. Look. Look, there, under the bathtub.
What is it?
A bottle. A little bottle of that stuff you paint your nails with.
I kept that bottle on the windowsill.
All right, okay. So the wind, something blew it off. That's what we heard. This bottle breaking. That's what made those spots in here.
Listen.
Police car.
Sounded like it. Stopped in front of the building.
Soon find out. Come on, let me know.
Suppose they followed Tiny here. Suppose he drove the car back here.
Will you stop talking about Tiny? Put out the lights.
What for?
Put out the lights, Claire.
All right.
Now, I'll peek under this window shade and see where that police car is.
Are they out front?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Two cops in front of the building.
What are they doing?
They're looking at a car.
What car?
A black sedan parked in front of a building.
You said the car you used tonight was a black sedan.
All right. There's a million black sedans in this country, Mike.
But why are the cops looking at the one out front? Why are they putting their flashlights on the running board? Why are they looking inside?
How do I know?
Because Tiny drove it here. He isn't dead. You didn't kill him. He drove that car back here, climbed the fire escape, and he's in the apartment somewhere waiting to get it. Somebody at the door.
Shh.
What are you going to do?
Open up.
Police.
Open up, Smith. We want in.
Back to our story, The Hands of Mr. Smith. The midnight robbery of a cashier by two gunmen, Russ Rogers and Tiny Smith, developed swiftly into murder. Tiny, a powerful man with enormous hands, seized the cashier by the throat and killed him. Rogers, furious at his partner's stupidity, then shot Smith and left him in the black sedan in which they had made their getaway. With the stolen money, Rogers hurried to Smith's apartment. There, with Smith's wife, Claire, he hid the money in an old trunk. Suddenly, a police siren sounded outside the building. Then the buzzer to the Smith's apartment hummed like an angry bee.
Somebody's at the door.
Shh. Open up, Smith.
The police. What are we going to do?
Put on the lights.
You're going to give yourself up?
Let me handle this. Put on the lights.
Okay.
Open up in there, Mr. Smith. We want in.
Just a minute. I'm coming.
You folks are heavy sleepers.
What's the matter, officer?
There's a black sedan parked in front of the building with a lot of blood on the running board.
Blood?
Yeah. All over the running board and a lot more inside.
Well, what's it got to do with us? We don't own a car.
You don't, huh?
No.
Maybe you know whose car it is, then. Take a look out the window.
I already did.
I thought you just got out of bed.
I did. I heard the siren out front, came in the living room, and looked out the window. I went back to put on some clothes to go downstairs and find out what it was all about.
Who owns that car out front?
I don't know. I never saw it in my life before.
Hmm. Where's the janitor this joint?
Janitor? Well, I don't know. He probably...
Mr. Monks and his wife live in the basement.
There's nobody home.
Sometimes the Monks stay overnight with Mrs. Monks' sister. She lives over in Glendale somewhere.
Do the Monks own a car?
Not that I know of.
Hmm. Who lives in the apartment above this one?
Let's see.
An old bachelor. A man named Weaver.
Maybe that black sedan belongs to him.
We wouldn't know.
Okay, folks. Sorry to get you out of bed at this time in the morning.
That's all right, officer.
I'll go up and talk to this Weaver guy.
Maybe that stuff on the running board ain't blood, huh?
It's blood, all right. Good night.
Good night, officer.
You're lying to me, Russ. That black sedan out front is the one you killed Tiny.
Now, listen, Claire.
Tiny didn't die. He drove the car back here.
Oh, I tell you, you're nuts. Tiny's dead. That car in front of the building only looks like the one I used tonight.
Then how do you explain the blood on the running board? How do you explain the blood inside?
I can't explain it.
I can, because it's the car you shot Tiny in. He came back here. He's hiding in the apartment somewhere waiting to kill us. He said he'd dig his way out of his own grave to get it.
Oh, what a sap I was to tell you that.
Let's get away, Russ. Let's beat it out of here.
And leave that $3,000 locked in the trunk? Uh-uh.
Why did you have to lock that trunk? I told you Tiny had the only key.
And I told you I'd have another key made in the morning.
Listen.
I heard it.
Somebody's out in the kitchen.
Oh, don't be a sap. There's no one in this apartment but you and me.
Then what was that noise?
I don't know. Probably the cat knocked over something on the kitchen table.
There it is again. I tell you, Tiny's here.
Tiny's dead. He's dead, do you hear me? In that car, 2 miles away.
Wait. Where are you going?
I'm going out in the kitchen.
Don't leave me alone.
I'm not leaving you alone. You're coming with me. Maybe you believe in ghosts. I don't. Come on.
Look. Look, in the bedroom.
Oh, can't be. That's impossible.
I knew it. I knew he'd come back.
But it can't be. It can't be Tiny. We're seeing things.
Why doesn't he say something? Why doesn't he do something? Why does he just lie there on the bed?
I'm going in the bedroom.
No. Don't go near him.
I'm going to get the key to that trunk.
Don't touch him, Russ. Don't go near him.
But Tiny has the key. You told me I got to get it out of his pocket. We'll get the money and beat it.
He isn't breathing.
Shh.
His eyes. I can't look at them.
All right. Steady now. I'll slip my hand in his pocket. I got it. I got the key.
Hello, Russ.
Let go of my wrist.
I said I'd come back, Russ.
Let go of my wrist.
Drop the key.
Claire, get the gun out of my back pocket.
A gun won't help you, Russ. You ought to know that now.
You're breaking my wrist.
Then drop the key on the bed.
Okay, I dropped it.
That's my pal. Claire.
Don't come near him, Claire.
Take the key, Claire.
Don't come near him, I tell you.
Pick up the key. Come around on the other side of the bed and get it.
Yes, Tiny.
You've always been a good wife, Claire. Take the key. The money we got tonight belongs to you.
Tiny, with this money, we can all get away.
Sure we can. Pick up the key. Don't be afraid.
All right. I will.
Now.
Stop! Let go of me!
Now we're all together again.
Your hand! It's breaking my wrist!
We're all together again. You and me and Russ.
Russ! Why don't you do something?
Yeah, Russ. Why don't you do something?
I can't even move.
These big hands of mine, they're better than a gun. They can hold you two here, maybe forever.
Go on, monks. Where's the buzzer again?
Ah, Dora, it's only 8 o'clock in the morning. The Schmidts don't get up this early.
We'll get them up. I'm going to find out about this.
I'm going back downstairs and finish my breakfast.
You are not. You're the janitor of this building, and you're supposed to know what's going on with the tenants.
That don't mean I got to wake them up and ask some foolish questions.
I want to know if the man we heard about on the radio is our Mr. Smith.
It can't be.
How do you know? Go on. Push the button.
We've had enough trouble last night over to your sister's house. Why go looking for more?
This ain't looking for trouble. If it was him, we got to know sooner or later, and I want to know now.
He's sure going to be mad.
I want to know, that's all. You never can tell with tenants. Who'd think that mild old Mr. Weaver was the kind to go out hunting wild animals?
That's different.
All right. Stop the buzzer, monks. You buzz long enough to wake the dead.
For crying out loud, Dora. This is a fine way to start the day. I haven't
Try
even
the
had
door.
I haven't.
The door, monks. Go on, try it. Maybe it's unlocked.
All right. Hey, it is unlocked.
Well, go on, open it. Go on in.
Hey, they got the lights in the living room all turned on.
I knew it. I tell you, there's something wrong with them Smiths.
For crying out loud. Do you see what I see, Dora?
Money. It's money laying all over the floor.
They must have been storing that money in that trunk. Look, it's open.
Yeah. Some money inside of it, too.
Well, the Schmidts never had so much money.
As far as we knew. Ah, there was always something fishy about them Smiths. And their friend, too, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Hey, what are we going to do?
Huh? What's that?
There's someone in the bedroom. It don't sound like Mr. Smith.
No, that's not Mr. Smith.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Are you crazy? We're going to find out what's the matter here. We're going into that bedroom.
Now, be careful, Dora. There's no telling who it is.
Wait. Don't go no further.
It's Mr. Rogers.
Yes. What in the world's happened to him?
Listen to what he's saying.
That car with blood all over it. That was Tiny's car. He came back.
Oh, he must have seen Mr. Weaver's car outside with all the blood on it. You'd better tell that old gent that he's scaring the other tenants. It's none of our business if he wants to go off shooting wild animals. But to bring them home dripping blood, it's enough to scare the wits out of anyone.
Blood is dripping. It was Tiny's blood.
Now, Mr. Rogers, that was deer blood. Mr. Weaver's upstairs went hunting yesterday.
No, make them let me go. Make them take the cuffs off.
Cuffs?
Tiny did it. He clamped me to the bed.
You're not clamped to the bed, Mr. Rogers. Your sleeve's caught in the rod at the edge of the bed.
Monks, look at his hair. He didn't have white hair when he was here yesterday.
What happened, Mr. Rogers? What happened to you?
Tiny did it. He put his hands around her throat. Tiny did it.
Oh, he's out of his head.
Dora, it's true. On the other side of the bed, Mrs. Smith. Oh. She's on the floor.
Oh, maybe. Maybe she's fainted.
No, there's marks on her neck. Say, Rogers, cut the act. Maybe you killed her.
Tiny did it. With his hands on her throat, make him get off the bed. Make him get off the bed and open these cuffs. Make him get off the bed.
There's no one on the bed, Mr. Rogers.
Don't lie to me. I can see him. He's right in front of me, lying on the bed.
But, Mr. Rogers, the bed's empty. The spread hasn't even a wrinkle
but
in it.
But I see him. It's Tiny, I tell you.
It couldn't be, Mr. Smith. Even if something was there, it couldn't be Mr. Smith.
It couldn't?
No, he was killed. Police found him with four bullets in him. He was in a black sedan, they said. We heard it on the radio this morning. They found him dead about 2 miles from here.
Yes, they described him on the radio, too. And we knew it was Mr. Smith. He died about 12:30 last night.
Yeah, they said he had big hands. Like Mr. Smith.
But the funny thing is, he had a key in his hand.
A key?
Yes, Mr. Rogers, a trunk key. A little trunk key in one of his great big hands.
From shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
That's the show for today. I'll be back next Sunday with more strange tales. Between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show and more old-time radio at relicradio.com. Also links there to our forum, Shoutcast stream, and our donate button. That's how this is all made possible. Thank you, as always, to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Watch again next week with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales. Strange Tales is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.